Prison Colony Resistance is brought to you by Sam and the Vaxman Productions. Prison Colony Resistance. Where you come to get your PCR test.
This is a big accusation that you are making here. I don't want to rule the world. I just want the WEF to rule the world, and I want to rule the WEF. Get out of here, Klaus. This is the intro to the show, mate. You're like overstepping. Sorry, folks. This is the Vax Man. I'm back in control. Mr. Schwab is back where he belongs on the casino floor. I apologize to my co-host. Please forgive the intrusion from Klaus. Somehow that song about everybody wanting to rule the world, particularly him, really sets him off, Sam. I don't know why that is. How you doing, by the way?
I think the words triggered, man. He was not happy. I'm surprised he made such an early appearance. This was not in pre-production.
He literally like yanked the microphone from my arm. I like couldn't do anything, Sam. I was trying, man. I was trying to keep this thing on track. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we have no pre-production meetings, and back on track it's not really a thing, is it?
Yeah, especially in this world of derailed everything.
Oh, funny though, it's good song choice this week.
Very true.
Yeah, find the lyrics, listen to the words, man. That's turn your back on Mother Nature. It's that really resonated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on.
And you know, like, I'm sure this song probably resonates with so many of the people that we talk about week to week. I'm sure Jacinda probably hears and is like, oh yeah, I'm trying to listen
to the song here.
And that just must resonate for her because, wow, here is a song that speaks exactly to her nature. Justin, Klaus, Vladimir Putin, everyone who is in charge of all these governments that are oppressing their populations probably love this song. It probably inspired them to be the person that they are today.
They're totally listening to us, aren't they? Like, seriously, in between high-level military discussions and meetings with big pharma, I'm sure they've got us on everywhere.
You think we're like when the planes hit the towers and George Bush was with the kids and they whisper in his ear and he's just like freezes? You think like they do that to the leaders? They're talking about you again at the PCR show, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm completely self-indulgent that I believe that.
Mr. Schwab, the Vax Man is once again making comments about your lifestyle choices.
Oh, I cannot believe that the Vax Man is continuing to talk about me. Hey, Sam, there you are. You weasley little guy, eh? I've been looking for you. You owe me some money, Sam.
I thought you were going to get him under control.
Sam.
That's just, no, you're out. I'm not doing this. You're out.
You owe me. I don't play this game, Sam. You play like I don't know you. You owe me money, Sam. I'm coming back mid show, and I want to collect with my wig. You know what my wig is.
Sorry, Sam. Damn, man. That
my
guy just
my mic and my headphones are kind of acting up.
I don't know. Did you ever see that movie Mean Streets with Robert De Niro? One of Martin Scorsese's first movies.
You're a lot older than I am.
In that movie, Robert De Niro, and fans of this movie will know exactly what I'm saying. Robert De Niro was pulling your game, dude. He was trying to like, I fuck these guys. I don't care what they say. I'm not listening. I can't hear nothing. You know what they did to Robbie?
Honorable men, they will pay their debt tonight in mean streets. Giovanni.
You're still around that kid, Johnny Boy. This Johnny Boy is named after me. Nicer, more sure. But this Johnny Boy is a little bit like your friend Groppy, half crazy. I understand you tried to help him out because of our family and his family, but that's nice, I understand. Watch yourself. Don't spoil anything. Honorable men go with honorable men.
Four honorable men. And Johnny Boy.
Why didn't you make your payment last Tuesday?
What do you mean? I made my payment last Tuesday. What are you talking about?
You paid him last week?
Yeah, I paid him last week. Well, what'd he say? He said I didn't pay him? He's a fucking liar. Where is he?
You paid him?
Yeah, I paid him.
Last week?
Yeah.
Last Tuesday?
Yeah. Charlie, you don't know what
he's here.
Where?
Out front.
He's here?
Yeah.
So what do I care?
All right, let me go get him. We'll straighten this thing out, all right?
Hey, wait a minute, Charlie.
What?
Well, you're right.
I'm right.
Yeah. Was it last Tuesday?
Yeah, that's the Tuesday. That was last week. That's before the one that's about to come up.
My mistake. I'm sorry. Forgive me. It was last week, the week before that I was thinking of, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was, huh?
That's right.
I give you money.
Honorable men. They will pay their debt tonight in mean streets.
I see what you're doing. I saw you.
What happens when she... You know, I borrowed money all over this neighborhood, left and right, from everybody, and I never paid them back. So I can't borrow no money from nobody no more, right? So who does that leave me to borrow money from but you? I borrow money from you because you're the only folk around here that I can borrow money from without paying back, right? Because I don't give this issue by you or nobody else. Come on.
Honorable men. Honorable men.
He doesn't have that broken nose for no reason.
Spoiler alert, because I might actually go and watch it after we finish up here tonight.
You worried now? You worried what happened to Robbie?
I'm always on the lookout for a good movie.
Man, this is Klaus, man. He's got connections. You saw what he did in New Zealand, right? So apparently Jacinda couldn't get these protesters out of her hair. Mm-hmm. And then she like looked at Canada and was like, what is Justin doing? Like, what's my cadet member Justin doing? And then she checks and he's sending in goons with no insignia, connected to like CB radios. They don't hear, they don't see, they just follow instructions. And they probably weren't even Canadian.
It's interesting you bring this up. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago on the show, I said, it is a lot easier for foreign troops to go into a country and fuck with the people there. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So I mean, because look, the main objective of a soldier is to follow orders, right? So you think, okay, I'm a Canadian army military kind of person. You get orders, hey, guess what, go and fucking detain these people however you can, again, you know, against your fellow countrymen, that probably wouldn't sit right with a lot of people. So they bring in military hired goons from another country. Easy. No questions. They're not our kin. They're not our countrymen. Yes, we're all one, right? We're all human, maybe. Some of us are.
More than others.
I haven't had anything that's altering my DNA, so I can definitely tell you that I am 100% human.
Yeah, I don't know. What was that first adverse event in the Pfizer list? A2, R2, D2, what, C3PO, D2.
1P36 deletion syndrome.
1P36. I don't have that.
look, we'll get back to that topic of foreign troops in countries. Mm. We've seen this week, like we really haven't spoken too much about the floods on the east coast. Ooh. Of Australia. It's been fucked, let's be honest. Whether you think it is natural or completely chemically engineered, right?
Yeah.
The fact is a lot of people have lost everything. The recovery effort, fucking hell, the recovery effort, our local, you know, our SES, they want volunteers, but they only want fully vaccinated volunteers. Right? Okay, that's
it's right. That's an emergency, right?
That's fucked up in itself. So I think we're nearly 2 and a bit weeks from like the peak of the flood. So there's basically people cleaning up everywhere. Army has basically been a no-show.
Mm.
Haven't seen fuck all of them.
There's on that there's a viral video of an army crew who sets up outside of a house that's been basically torn apart by the floods with all the debris in front, and they picture themselves videotaping for like an hour, moving rubble around, and then they close up shop and boom, off they go. Yep. See you later. All right, thanks for helping.
Right, so in the last few days, we've seen soldiers, military from Singapore and the United States come down and help with recovery, with relief effort. All right, so this is just kind of getting people used to having foreign military in our community, because when shit hits the fan and, you know, they need to control, detain, whatever, the Australian population, they're not going to send our army after us. No. They've now got access to foreign armies to come down and, you know, deal with whatever they need to deal with for whatever orders they've been given.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sam. We spoke about in that episode, we talked about the empathy factor, right? Oppressing your fellow citizen who also happens to be Australian. Like at a certain point, you know, even as much as the government tries to make them another, the other, the unvaccinated, the dirty, the diseased, you still kind of like, nah, mate.
The great unwashed.
Nah, mate, he's just my mate, you know? And it's like at a certain point, like the fact that we're all Australians together kind of like bonds us, and we're in the lucky country, and there's something that is inviolable about that agreement. So you bring in the foreign troops who don't really care about that, and those are the oppressors. And that's exactly what happened in New Zealand, in Wellington. All of a sudden, everyone thought, oh, the protesters are there to stay. Jacinda can't move them because of this Maori agreement that the government of New Zealand cannot use its forces to remove the citizenry. And all of a sudden, Jacinda's like, wait a minute. Well, what does that say again? It says that citizens, the government of New Zealand cannot use its armed forces. Its armed forces? Wait. Sam, can I finish your sentence? Sam, can I finish? Can I finish, Sam? Can I finish my thought? Can I finish? I'm going to finish. What if we bring in Klaus's boys?
Jacinda, are you calling me?
Maybe, Klaus, maybe. And all of a sudden, goons are clearing out the camping area and torching it. They're setting it alight. That's insane.
Yeah. Where does this, you know, what path are we going down to? Where is it leading? I want to see the best in the shit show that's unfolding in front of us, but it's hard sometimes.
don't you wish it could be a little bit better, I guess? Like, if our political system could just be better.
Yeah, that's been going through my head a lot the last, especially, you know, we have a state election coming up this weekend. I read a post the other day from Topher Field, I think it was, and he said, SA, you've got an election coming up. Don't fuck it up. Right?
He's the guy with the marbles teaching you how to vote on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Great video, by the way. Everybody should look that up to learn about preferential voting.
Absolutely. But I think we're going to fuck it up. As a whole, I think we're going to fuck it up.
You know what I think, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to start from scratch. I think
absolutely.
When my kids are building a Lego tower, like they're building their little Lego castle, and I come in as a systems engineer, that's my other job. And I come in, I say, kids, what are you doing? We got to take this apart and we got to build it back.
It's but when we build it back,
we're going to build it back better.
Don't say it.
Now, you might say, guys, PCR, Prison Colony Resistance Podcast, what are you guys doing? You're trying to connect these floods to Klausi and the world order and all this other stuff. What are you guys doing? It's just a natural occurrence that happens. Forget about the HAARP. Don't look at any videos or research on that. Don't read those patents, by the way. Please do not read the HAARP patents on Google, please. Right? Because all you guys are doing is just connecting things that don't need to be connected. How about this, Sam? Let me just show you something that I found when I was trolling around the internet, going through my syringes, becoming liquid form, going through the cables, the conduits of the internet. And I discovered this little video here that I would love to share with you. This is the New South Wales Resilience Agency Minister. What is that, you may ask? Well, I think I'll let him explain.
Now, as Resilience Commissioner, in working out where you rebuild the main drag of Lismore?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our statutory roles, Chris, is leading recovery after disasters. And as has been identified with the lessons of the last 12 months, and particularly here now in Lismore, we know that there's this immediacy of priority of support and assistance to so many thousands of displaced people and all the infrastructure and everything around there that's been damaged. The disaster happened in a matter of hours and days, but the recovery is going to go for days, weeks, months and years. There is already discussion going on with the local council and the local communities about rebuilding, about what it looks like. How do we build back better? And
there it is.
They can't help themselves, man.
There's that satanic phrase, build back better.
It's like they got to tag it on. Like, I'm one of you guys. Please take me in the calling. I want to go with you to the underground bunkers.
Well, do you know why they have to say that? They actually need to put their intentions out there in public. That's just what they do, right? They're not hiding. It's part of their fucked up kind of plans that, you know, they're literally telling us what they're doing.
Mm.
But are the majority actually sitting up taking note that what they're doing is not going to be good for the majority?
I've read that signaling is very important to kind of like give little indications that you're on this team. And you know, the little phrase, build back better, I'm with Klaus, you know, get me in the VIP room. So so there it is.
We're kind of scratching a topic that needs probably a little bit more conversation between you and I before we actually
this is where we dig till we find truth, Sam. I mean, we don't care. I call a coop a coop. I call a spade a spade. I call a shovel a shovel. Sometimes I call a spade a shovel because I don't really know what shovels look like. You know, I've never done any farming or anything, so I might be in trouble, Sam, in this new world order.
Well, you're not hanging out with Trevor anytime soon.
I got to learn how to build it. So great interview this week. And we have another fantastic interview this week as well. Sam, How did you do it? You secured a superstar on Prison Colony Resistance, this humble little podcast put out of the Adelaide community, and somehow you secured. Tell us about it, Sam.
Yeah, talk about big fish. Normally, my MO is just to harass and annoy people until they finally say, "Oh, look, if I come on your show, will you just fuck off?" This was not the case. This was I shot an email. A couple of weeks later, out of the blue, I got a reply, and it was, "Holy fuck, yes, I'd love to sit down and have a chat." And it is or was, how are we recording this?
I don't know. I guess was, is, I don't know. It's a,
this is weird.
I'm thinking about it from 10 years in the future looking back. It doesn't really matter.
I'm breaking walls here, man. Like, but if someone is listening,
oh, you're giving us hints.
The other episode prior first and then coming back to this, I don't know, man.
All right, wait. Let me take your hints. Okay. You're signaling, yeah. Like you're saying you're giving us hints here. You're mm-hmm. saying that it's a superstar. You're saying mm-hmm. that is or was. You're breaking walls, time mm-hmm. traveling. Mm-hmm. You got Deadpool. You secured Deadpool for the show. Did I?
Yeah,
know?
Got it. Yep. Yeah.
Oh yes, I love Deadpool.
I thought you were gonna say Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Marty, it's about your kids.
we did have the one and only Pete Evans.
One and
yes,
only.
Hold your shock and applause and just go and listen to the episode because it could be, it is fantastic.
I'm sure it will be, it was, it is, yeah, amazing. And when talks about such a wonderful topic, such as fill in topic here. It was a great experience. No, but I'm really excited about this interview. It's going to take place tomorrow, which is why we're being a bit vague. And we're very excited.
Is that why we're being vague?
And we don't know what we're going to talk about because everything is on the agenda. Pete is he's given us full rein to talk about everything. So it's going to be a great conversation tomorrow, or it already has been, or it was. So us and Pete, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff because he has given us carte blanche to talk about anything.
Hopefully, maybe, definitely.
Absolutely, positively, could be, maybe.
couldn't be any clearer.
Absolutely. And now for something completely different. So how did you stumble upon Pete? Like, why did you become such a big fan?
Little man, I when I came to you, I was excited and I said, "Hey man, look, I got someone on the show. It's Pete Evans." And you went, and this is how I know we're two very different people. I mean, you're stuck in you know the lonely law lecture halls.
Your systems engineer.
I was watching, you know, mainstream TV at 7:30 on a Monday night through to Thursday, and you know, this guy was everywhere. He was, you know, he had TV shows, he had documentaries, books, something he said, well, not something he said, a lot of what he said clicked with the way we lived our lives. So yeah, you know, we kind of bought into what he was about. And I think I became more endeared to him when he actually just started speaking his truth. He had a you know, alternate opinion on something or other, and the entire world just seemed to fucking lose their shit. And I went, "Nah, fuck it, you can't say that. We're canceling basically everything you're doing." And you know, he kept going and doing what he's doing. And like, if you're listening to us, then you know who, you know, what Pete is about. And yeah, man, he's done some really, 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 really good stuff.
Yeah.
Two things, you know, the magic pill, the magic plant, two documentaries, which are absolutely fantastic. He had his series, The Paleo Way, My Kitchen Rules. Seriously, this there's so many different avenues to this guy and what he's about. He's not just a TV chef.
So he has been dropping some truth bombs, and that is dangerous in today's day and age. They don't want you to talk truth. They want you to talk marketing and sales projections and market shares and, adverse events of interest and all that kind of stuff.
Basically, they want the world fucking sanitized and everyone reading from the same script. And if you've got an alternate view that just so happens to be, you know, potentially better for you and it doesn't fit the agenda that's coming through mainstream, well, guess what? We're going to fuck it. We're going to fuck you up, shut it down, and try and ruin your career and your livelihood.
Now, our listeners might be saying, but guys, like, I mean, what are they going to do? Like, they can't control everything, right? I mean, it's only one company, Pfizer, or one government. Like, they can't control every single moment of your life. Well, check this out, Sam. They're asking Berlos, right? He's the president of Pfizer. And it's in a World Economic Forum.
I know who he is, yes.
And it's a World Economic Forum, like, roundtable. So the audience is facing them and they're asking questions, the Q&A section. And they ask about compliance. And check out what they say, Sam. How they're going to ensure that you comply with the drugs that they want you to take endlessly in the coming future.
Are amazing. But even if you make the greatest drug or the greatest wearable, there's no guarantee that the patient is going to take the drug or wear the device. So how are you thinking about technology to engage the patient?
Yeah. Again, maybe I will use an example. I think it's fascinating what's happening in this field right now. I mean, FDA approved the first electronic pill, if I can call it like that. So it is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet, and once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field. But of course, there will be an initial cost that someone needs to invest.
it's quite scary to think that this organization and or these organizations that they're a lot like slow moving lava, right? Like it's bubbling along, it's red, it looks kind of pretty and whatnot, but in actual fact, it's pretty fucking dangerous and it's going to take out nearly everything in its path. And what stops it?
And to use that analogy, like you think, oh, it's so slow moving, I could just hide out over here, but eventually it overwhelms the whole island and just accretes another layer to the volcano mountain island, you know?
That's it. Well, they are very advanced in what they are working on, what they have and what they have planned for the future.
I can see it like in a diary somewhere. In 2017, January, we shall bring out the patented micro project Alpha Luna, and we'll start inserting that as an encephalitis scare starts to rage through the city. Speaking of which, did you know that we now have Japanese encephalitis in Adelaide? Say what now?
Yeah, I know. How that's we've made it to the big time. We're on the world stage.
It's crazy.
Even international viruses want to come to Adelaide.
How did they get a visa?
Well, look, international travel is open. So, you know, we don't need to worry about quarantining or anything. Just come on down, bring your viruses.
Hello?
According to, I'll share this, Sam, so you can read along. But according to The Guardian, what is Japanese encephalitis and why is it spreading in Australia? The mosquito-borne virus has been found in dozens of piggeries and human cases have emerged. Who is at risk and how can you protect yourself? Well, and then it goes into the story. So encephalitis death in South Australia has been investigated by authorities, health authorities, as state records 4 Japanese encephalitis virus cases. Now, what is encephalitis? For all those listeners out there, it's inflammation of the active tissues of the brain caused by an infection or, get ready for this one, Sam, an autoimmune response.
Hello?
The inflammation causes the brain to swell, which can lead to headaches, stiff neck, sensitivity to light, mental confusion, and seizures. It's not a very pleasant disease.
Right. And look, to be completely fair, not everyone, I mean, to get brain inflammation from a mosquito is very rare. Very, very rare.
Four cases rare.
Yeah. But it just so happens that, what was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like maybe 10 or 11 different strains of encephalitis is actually a side effect in the latest Pfizer drop.
Don't we have a 90% double vaxxed and quickly rising boosted vaccinated population in Adelaide?
Yeah, maybe 95%. But hey, interesting as well. I mean, if you go to the very last page of those 9 pages of adverse events, the very last side effect, adverse event, whatever you want to call it.
Free ice cream.
Is Zika virus.
Zika virus. That was raging for a while. That was really popular.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's a mosquito-borne virus, yeah? Mm-hmm. There's some other avenues connected with Zika, but if you ask, normal fella on the street, what's Zika virus? Where does it come from? They'll say, oh, it's a mosquito. Right. So what the fuck is that doing as part of a side effect in a vaccine for a respiratory illness?
For brain swelling, for a vaccine that has shown neurological effects. Don't neurons come from the brain? Aren't they the ones that are transmitted down your neural network and your nervous system?
You're talking crazy, man.
Here is a vaccine that we said, we read the patents to you. It can cross the blood-brain barrier. It has nanolipid particles that can cross the blood-brain barrier. What are these nanolipid particles? There's 4 of them. And where do they deposit? What happens to them after they get discarded once they deliver their package? What happens to them? Oh, a Japanese case that had a Freedom of Information request from Pfizer showed that they accumulate in the ovaries of ladies and in the bone marrow and in the liver.
But hey, they told us that it was just going to stay in the arm. It's just going to stay in the point of injection.
That's right.
And again, another lie that was told, and one that's certainly not being rushed to be cleared up. You don't see our mainstream media come out and go, oh, hey, guess what? There's an interesting study come out of wherever the fuck you said it was coming from. And we've just realized that everyone's been taken for a ride. Everyone's been lied to. Everyone's taken this under a false pretense.
Well, Sam, I'm going to have to stop you there and correct you, my friend. Even though you are the best co-host in the business, not everyone was taken for a ride. In fact, there was one man, a furious man. Hey, you guys talk about me again. Hey, Sammy boy, you vaccinated yourself yet?
I'm not engaging.
Oh, the silent treatment. Just because I'm friends with Klausy, I'm not here to collect on that. That's between you guys, you know. That vig is obscene. I had to pay that one time. Hey, that's why I have the NIAID. I make them pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I wasn't fooled by this vax talk. Don't get me started in your everybody was fooled. I ain't part of that sheeple crowd.
I'm just hoping if I ignore you, it'll go away.
Oh, Sammy, I'm like a bad wart on your buttocks. I don't go away, Sammy. I just hang out. I just pester you to pay attention. You know what I'm saying, Sammy? You vaccinated yourself yet?
Sorry, man. What did you say? I wasn't paying attention.
So, Sammy boy, I'm going to show you here a discussion I had with my buddy, Marky. You know Marky? Zuckerberg. We call him Marky down in Brooklyn. That's where I'm from, by the way. I'm from Brooklyn. That's why I got this accent. But don't let the accent fool you. I was really intelligent and stuff. Anyways, here's what I was telling Marky before this whole vaccination pandemic scenario came about. You know what I'm saying? Check this out, Sammy boy.
For
first time, if it happened, that a vaccine that looked good in initial safety actually made people worse. There was the history of the respiratory syncytial virus vaccine in children, which paradoxically made the children worse. One of the HIV vaccines that we tested several years ago actually made individuals more likely to get infected.
You see, Sammy boy, I know what I'm talking about. In fact, I even knew that all the animal studies for the mRNA gene therapies, well, all them animals is dead. They's buried with Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, they're not seeing the light of day, are they? All joking aside, it is funny that you call them gene therapies, because let me share something with you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, Sammy boy. I'm glad we're talking again. Listen, Sammy, I gotta go. I can't hang with you because you ain't vaccinated. So I'm gonna leave you in the Vax Man's good hands. Talk to you later. Sorry, Sam. Damn, that guy just gets in the door. So what do you got for us?
Oh yeah, man, he's everywhere. We'll just have him listen to Thomas Renz from during this week.
The release of the Pfizer documents just a few days ago, we saw that the actual list of adverse events of serious interest, side effects, that they were looking at was something like 6 pages, single space, small font. I mean, the list was hundreds of things that they were looking at, which makes sense given that this is a new category of drug. By the way, they changed the definition of vaccine so that they could call these vaccines. We have Pfizer and Moderna documents. I can show you, take a look at the SEC filings, acknowledging that mRNA is a gene therapy. So that, to me, that conversation is laid to rest. Pfizer and Moderna have both admitted openly in federal filings that mRNA technology is gene therapy. So, you know, that makes it so that these are a new category of drugs. So if you're wondering why so many side effects are possible, it's because it's an untested category of drug. We don't have the 10 to 15 year development cycle you'd normally have, so they don't know what's going to happen. What's turned out to happen is a nightmare.
There you go.
See, he's my hero. Thomas Renz is my hero. If I met Thomas Renz, I'd be like, Thomas, can I get an autograph?
Yeah, like he's certainly got some chops about him, hasn't he?
Oh, he's just on the money. He's the guy that got the Department of Defense to release all that data that they had about the adverse events and neurological, like an 8,000, something like that, increase in neurological effects. He's amazing. And you see him, you meet him, you hear him talk in interviews. He's such a humble guy, just interested in truth, justice, and, you know, getting justice for the victims of this campaign that's been imposed on us. So we now know that these are mRNA gene therapies. We keep repeating that week after week. So let that sink in. We've also talked about the 9 pages of adverse events of interest. Remember that little two word, of interest. There's some that they don't care about.
I'm still going through some of that stuff. It is frightening.
What's the scariest thing you found?
Okay, the scariest thing I found is not actually in the document. It was from a conversation I had yesterday, actually. I was speaking to a woman and very pro, has had taken, you know, 3 shots, probably line up for 4 and 5, no questions asked. And I said, if I have given you 9 pages of 1,300 plus side effects, adverse events, not just immediate, but medium and long term, that you could possibly be opening yourself up to, would you still do this? Would you still take it? And without blinking, look me straight in the eye, a resounding yes. No hesitation at all. I was floored, man. I was just...
Yeah, I mean, I look at a bottle of Tylenol. Before I take Tylenol, And this was before we were suspecting that they're putting graphene oxide in everything. And we've seen the videos online where they take apart a gel cap of the ibuprofen Xevance and they put it in the water and they bring the magnet up and you find the graphene oxide particles. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like everyday scientists, your civilian scientist putting videos up on YouTube, the TikToks, everywhere, kind of showing you more data accumulation that this is actually happening. It's not some weirdo in a basement making videos. This is across the spectrum in various countries occurring. We know that our food production is highly centralized. General Mills, Nestle Foods, they control a very large part of the food supply. So for some of those decisions to be made at a very high level, it could be dispersed through a corporate structure, which is what they have, very easily. Like you wouldn't even have to tell most of the employees that you're doing something because it just goes down. We've seen Pfizer whistleblowers talking about how they put stuff in these vaccines and it's in memos. And that was revealed about 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why isn't there more of a fucking outrage over this?
Exactly. And that's my point. Why isn't that lady that you said had 3 shots? Why isn't she saying, what? Why did they trick me into doing this? Why?
I know, it's doing my fucking head in. It really is. I just, the more I think about it, the more like, yeah. If I walked up to you prior to whatever, you know, I say, hey man, look, you need to take this shot if you want to keep your job and keep living. Here are the 9 pages of side effects you're opening yourself up to. Would you take it? No. 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 Like you said, I barely touch Panadol. Right? I look at everything that I put in my body.
Now I do. Yeah, now right? I don't touch the pharmaceuticals at all.
No.
I'm even like hesitant about vitamins, you know.
Oh yeah, you gotta get the good ones, man, because a lot of them are synthetic.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. A lot of them are not natural at all, but there are ones out there that are natural and have, you know, casings which are all fine and whatnot. But yeah, a lot of these things that are supposed to keep you healthy are all fucking highly synthetic and really you might as well just be popping fucking cough lollies.
So there is, like you said, the mind, right? Like it's doing in my mind. I can't understand in my mind why
it is. It's doing my fucking head in.
And the thing is that we can look at this 2 ways, right? Number one, you ask someone, you could put a mountain of data in front of someone who is double vaccinated, usually with the Pfizer. I've noticed that the Pfizer is kind of the one that is the most cultish among the vaccines.
If that makes sense. Right?
I've talked to like double vaccinated AstraZeneca and they're chill. They're still on like the same wavelength that they were before they got the injection. But the Pfizer folk are a bit different. They're a bit stranger, I would say. And, you know, I'm not casting aspersions, just saying like what I've observed. And we now have all this data and you can put it in front of them and they'll just be like, yeah, I don't care. It's the science. But the science keeps progressing and we've had doctors, like legitimate doctors with ideals and ethics, constantly saying
I was gonna say Ryan Cole, like what an absolute fucking champion this guy
so
is.
He puts this out like, so this is the issue, is like they can say oh, I'm glad I got the vaccine because now I'm protected, but physically what is their body doing? Well, this is what Dr. Ryan Cole is telling us about research that is coming into his office. Check it out, Sam.
Very importantly, and this goes to that question of all these anecdotes that we're hearing from different oncologists around the country and the world, literally. I got a very interesting note from a family doc that's been in Ireland for 40 years. He knows his community, knows his patients. And he said, hey, you know, a lot of my patients are getting the shot, some aren't. But in those that are, and then he listed the number of cancers he's seen in a 6-week period of time that he's never seen in a 40-year career. Wow. And so he asked what could be causing that. So I sent him that paper as a potential mechanism because that toll-like receptor number 4 is critical in the microenvironment to keep cancers at check, in check. So I was talking to Harvey Risch, the world-renowned epidemiologist. He said, well, you know, post a shot or a therapy, it's usually going to be 5-10 years till we see these signals. And I said, yeah, usually it would be. But when we have something we've never done before that's suddenly suppressing one of these receptors that's highly, highly responsible for keeping cancers in check, it would be very explicable as to why something that is quiescent all of a sudden wakes up. So, I mean, all day long, our cells are fighting off mutations in different cells. If they see the mutation, they'll try to kill that cell. If this receptor is downregulated, then all those downstream molecules inside that cell that's fighting there, it can't fight because those signals are now turned off, the cytokines, the interferons, the things that will attack that atypical cell. So we're seeing the early signals of this. And so that's what's concerning, is we want to be able to, you know, under the microscope, you know, here's a whole stack of tumors in the last couple of weeks. Where, what am I doing with these? I'm looking at the ratios of the helper T cells, the CD8 killer T cells, and then we'll be staining these for all of these toll-like receptors as well. Because in some of these patients, again, inexplicable cancers at really unusual ages that are really thick cancers and really aggressive cancers compared to what we are used to seeing in the lab.
Yeah, well, I think I've said this before. Take this shot and it'll fuck with your T cells. And hey, look at this. I've been following what he's been saying for quite a while, and he's not the only one that's mentioning this. This is just someone who is, I guess, does the rounds, I guess, on these alternate independent media.
Tireless advocate for truth, Dr. Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But fucking hell, man. Again, it's just why are these people being shut down? Why are they not being listened to? Why are they only being shown on independent media when this is clearly going to be affecting a lot of people?
Mm. Yeah, it's complete silence in the mainstream media. We talked about, we read a Substack that was analyzing the paper that was discussing that, and about the altering of this protein that is supposed to fix mutations. Those are cancers, cells that are not uniform, they're not healthy, they're not contributing to the whole of the specimen, to keeping you alive. And all of a sudden they're not destroyed because all that mechanism for immunity to destroy and fix these cells is gone. It's gone because of, remember that sequence that Moderna patented that they got discovered? It had something to do with that function.
So can you imagine, right? Because the way they've fucking sold this, and I can only imagine it's the same in nearly every country around the world, right? If you're immunocompromised, or, you know, if you have had cancer previously, then you really need to go and take this shot. So what happens now, right? It hurts just to think about how many good people are going to start suffering.
The vax regret.
Right. Well, but okay. Yeah. Vax regret. Maybe. Are they going to put two and two together? Are they going to connect the dots and say, guess what? My life's gone completely down the fucking toilet. And it started as soon as I had this injection. Are they going to realize this?
Looks like not, according to that person that you asked.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at. That is terrifying.
Now, Birla saying the fourth vaccine is needed, and Fauci saying this COVID thing is not done. In fact, let me show you the article here.
Hold on, did you see an article out of the West Australian this week?
I did. Yes, did you as well?
I you're gonna need a shot for the next 8 fucking years.
There it is. And this is what he said.
Hey, you guys got to quote me? Then let me quote myself, hey.
All right, Mr. Fauci, go ahead. You can say what you got to say.
First, let me know to clean up these streets at COVID City. I'll be right back. Furious Fauci. Furious Fauci. Furious, 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 furious Fauci. Join Furious Fauci as he cleans up the mean streets of COVID City. Special guest star this week, BA2 subvariant, Furious Fauci.
Man, what was that?
Take his bike.
Kick his ass.
Man, you're lucky I'm a racist black man. Otherwise, you'd be in serious trouble, man. Serious!
Fuck him up!
Then why don't you move back to Massachusetts?
I was born in Brooklyn. Oh!
Experts warn that the U.S. may soon see an increase in COVID-19 cases fueled by this new Omicron BA2 subvariant.
Yeah, the prediction comes as the virus surges overseas, with daily cases in the U.K. doubling in just the past couple of weeks. Let's bring in now Dr. Anthony Fauci.
In every aspect, cases, hospitalizations, and deaths.
Well, Dr. Fauci, you said that we have to be ready to be flexible and maybe go back to some of these restrictions. But, I mean, the reality is, and don't we have to admit, that train has left the station. It's going to be almost impossible to get people to put masks back on.
You know, I unfortunately have to agree with you on that. I think everyone feels, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, that we're done with COVID. I mean, it's an understandable feeling. We've had 2 years and 3 months of real difficulty having to deal with this. And you're quite right. If people need to pivot and turn around, it's going to be very difficult for people to do that.
As U.S. health officials brace for a potential increase in COVID-19 cases with this subvariant BA2 circling around, Dr. Fauci, a lot of parents with children under the age of 5 are frustrated that their young kids are still not eligible to be vaccinated. What do you say to them, and what are the chances that that will happen in the coming months?
Well, there's a reasonably good chance that we'll be hearing something about that in the next month or so. As you know, when the original trials were done on children less than 5 years old, it was assumed that it would be a two-dose vaccine for those children. The preliminary data indicated that two doses really didn't quite cut it to get their immune protection to the level that we were comfortable with. So the trials continued, now using a third dose in children in that age cohort.
What you talking about, Willis?
Furious Fauci.
Man, you're lucky I'm a racist black man. Otherwise, you'd be in serious trouble, man. Serious!
Fuck him
up! Then why don't you move back to Massachusetts?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Okay, so I'm back. So this is what I said. In an interview, they asked me over at CNBC. You know them guys, Sammy? The CNBC boys. They're all right, you know.
Not really.
They got the Chris Hayes guy. He's a bit uppity. I don't like him too much. Anyways, the CNBC, they asked me, how many more shots are going to be needed? You know what I said to them, Sam? This is what I said to him. Check this out, Sam. I said it. I said it just like this, Sam. Cool. The answer is, we don't know. I mean, that's it. It is likely that we're not done with this when it comes to vaccines.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, Willis?
We're not done with this, Sam.
We're not done with this. I didn't think we were, man. People are saying, oh, the narrative is crumbling, it's crumbling, it's crumbling. And to a degree, I don't know.
Is it threadbare? In Adelaide, it is threadbare. People are really like, man, I'm sick of these freaking masks. It's just a cold. Why do I have to stay home again? Oh, what the fuck, this close contact. They're really getting
I beg to differ, because again, that conversation I had yesterday, but you read some comments on these public sites, like people are begging to be living under restrictions, right? They're begging for it. Why have you opened everything up? Why are you taking away these restrictions when cases are going through the roof? Why can't people just, well, I'm going to wear a mask even if it's not mandatory? And this is all part of the plan to get people so scared and reliant on government to look after them that when government steps away, people scream back for them.
Mm.
It's fucked up.
But I think it's really starting to hit home now because, okay, we were doing the close contact thing over December. Nobody really cares because we're all on holiday. Like literally Australia shuts down from the beginning of December to like mid-January every single year. Yes. Nothing happens. And we're locking down, so we're staying home. We're home already. It gives us a reason to be home more for Christmas and all that.
Life is back to normal now. They threw the phrase around shadow lockdown, where we lock down on our own accord.
We like want to lock down. We want to comply. We want to help you out, Corella. But now everyone's back at work. So when somebody is determined to be a close contact, and that happens because of all the times that we've explained it to you listeners, you know all those rules better than we do. But if you're in a room with someone who's unmasked for more than 15 minutes and then they're connected to someone, it's like those 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You know, like how many movie stars can you connect to Kevin Bacon in 6 degrees or less? It's like that with the COVID, 6 degrees of COVID close contact. So all of a sudden, you have your business, you have your scheduled worker, and he calls you the night. Sorry, I can't do my shift in the cafe because I'm a close contact. Are you sick? No. Did you rat test? Yeah, but it's a negative, but I got to do another one tomorrow. Okay, call me tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be negative. And then you don't have a worker for the day and you have to reschedule. And businesses are really starting to feel it now where they don't have any consistency. They don't know what's coming day to day. And that is not a healthy business environment.
No, well, look, a lot of restrictions are starting to get pulled back. But call me cynical. We are moving into an election this week, so they kind of want to give us a little bit of a prize and hopefully they vote in the sitting government. Either way, we're fucked either way.
The lava keeps coming.
The lava keeps coming. I think that's the title for the show, yeah?
I think so.
The lava keeps coming.
The ultimate Bond villain, Klaus, and it's like his volcano lair.
Mr. Powers, you'll notice that all of the sharks have laser beams attached to their heads. I figure every creature deserves a warm meal.
Dr. Evil, it's about the sharks. When you were frozen, they were put on the endangered species list. We tried to get some, but it would have taken months to clear up the red tape.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. Now, evidently, my cycloptic colleague informs me that that can't be done. Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here. What do we have?
Sea bass.
Right.
They are mutated sea bass.
Really? Are they ill-tempered?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a start. You know.
That was his volcano lair. The lava keeps coming.
I like that. But like I said, like there's no opposition in politics here. There's no opposition in government. Government does the work for the people. All they're doing is overreaching and trying to control every aspect of our life, like they did with the QR codes.
Speaking of which, did you hear what Dominic Perito said?
I actually did, believe it or not.
What, Sam? It's almost like we share a channel where we dump the same information.
How smooth was that, though? That was pretty good. That was smooth, man.
Well, now that you're like telling the listeners how smooth it was, it's no longer smooth.
I'm breaking the wall.
That's why we got Deadpool on, right?
The most ironic one I thought was we ended up bringing QR codes back when we weren't even tracking and tracing. There was no science behind it at all. It had zero utility. But there was a massive campaign, and when those massive campaigns get run, what it does, it depletes confidence. And that kind of reporting, as we've seen over this period of time, has depleted confidence in our people. So we actually brought it back for one reason only, to instill confidence so that people would go out with using QR codes.
So that supports your theory, Sam. Over government regulation. Man. People want that. People want to feel safe.
When they take it away, people shit themselves and go, why the fuck have you abandoned us? Can't leave the house. I can't walk into a store if there's no QR code. How am I going to know if I'm sick? How am I going to know if I need to take a PCR test and fucking sit out of life for the next 14 days? Even though I'm vaccinated against something that I'm probably going to catch anyway.
And I'm sicker now than I was before I got vaccinated.
Right. Fuck, this world's a fucking mess, isn't it?
It's a clown world. I mean, almost every single conspiracy theory, like it's going to alter your genetic code, proven. It's not going to grant immunity. Check. It's going to lead to new variants. Check. It's going to lead to a suppressed immunity. And when you actually don't have immunity, you're going to get all kinds of infections. Check. Mm-hmm. 9 pages of like adverse events of interest.
Yep. Nanotechnology.
Oncologists calling in saying we got cancers at the wazoo. And they're not your typical cancers. Yep. They're aggressive, thick cancers, is what Dr. Ryan Cole said. So does the population wake up? I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm quite happy to sit here and talk until people start fucking waking up. I'm quite happy to sit here and keep talking and have people call me, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer. I'm quite happy to sit here and talk and people say, you're a fucking nut job conspiracy theorist. I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that, because what we've been saying since we started this has actually come to fruition.
But that doesn't get us off the naughty boy list. We're still there. Conspiracy theorists, even though it's come true.
Yeah, like, look, we've got fucking COVID warning banners over a majority of our shows, and that's cool. All right, now wear that as a badge of honor.
It reminds me of like gamblers, you know, like rich gamblers who have like mansions and Ferraris and motorboats. And then
who do you think I hang out with, really? I don't know any of these people.
I thought like you and Leo in that movie Wolf of Wall Street, you're like, you know, throwing the hundreds off the deck of the ship together. I thought that was you, no?
Nah, it was just a lookalike, body double.
I choose rich every fucking time.
There is no nobility in poverty. I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time. Because at least as a rich man, when I have to face my problems, I show up in the back of a limo wearing a $2,000 suit and a $40,000 gold fucking watch. Hey boys, duke it out. Hit him. Hit him. Fuck off of me. You.
But those rich gamblers, and you meet them, right? Or like, you don't meet them, but you see them on TV and they're giving you gambling tricks. Like when you're at the table playing blackjack, always bet on red if it's 20 or under, or that, and they give you all those tips and you're like figuring out the maths. And then you're thinking in your head, man, you're a degenerate gambler. Yeah, and gambling's bad and you don't win at gambling. And you're staring at this person with like mansions and motorboats and Ferraris. They got it figured out, man. That's what I feel when people start throwing around, you're a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, yeah, I think I am. I'm happy about that.
I'm all right with that. Because you know what? I was thinking about that today, actually, because it means I'm open to thinking. I'm open to new ideas. I'm open to different points of view, right? You know, we've spoken to a whole bunch of different people, and I've got insights and ideas that I've actually gone off and researched myself. And fuck, I didn't know that. And that's cool, man.
Absolutely. Hey,
did you hear the one about Paul McCartney?
What happened?
The conspiracy theory surrounding Paul McCartney. Now, I read this a long time ago, and I cannot find it anywhere anymore.
That he's not the real one.
Yes.
Okay, I heard that one. Yeah.
You've heard that one.
Yeah. So how does it go again?
He died like in a car accident, I think it was, at like the peak of Beatlemania.
Oh.
And they just fucking grabbed a guy who kind of looks similar, worked him over, plastic surgery and everything, and just fucking, there you go, you're Paul McCartney now.
And that's when the John Lennon and Paul McCartney had the falling out.
Right.
And they started breaking apart. They form like they go the dark ways. They form like, didn't one of them form Skinner or something?
Blame it on Yoko Ono.
blame it. That's the conspiracy there. Right. It's Yoko's fault. Nah. Yoko came along with the puppet clone Paul McCartney guy.
Yeah. But that's a cool one, man. I've said that a few times to a bunch of different people, and like they've never heard that. So it's really refreshing that you've heard of that one.
I've seen photo comparisons, and there's something there, man. Because there's old Paul McCartney, the like early "I wanna hold your hand," that one doesn't look anything like this one.
And he looks fucking weird now, doesn't he? Like, it doesn't look great. He doesn't look great.
Same thing with Biden. There's like four or five different Bidens. There's like different versions of the guy, man.
Fuck, isn't he having a week? My God. I don't think I've got any bits of him this week, I don't think, but
I do have something. So like you said, when you have been labeled as conspiracy theorist, now people don't listen to you. You're put in the naughty boy list, and anything you say doesn't matter. Even if you're right 90% of the time, with hindsight being 2020, and you're correct looking back at the events that you said were like this, they turned out to be like that, you're still a conspiracy theorist. No one's going to listen to you. And then the beauty of this is that they get to set the lines on what we do and what we don't talk about and how we talk about it. So the new PSYOP, the new censorship agenda, is Ukraine. And
it's been nice.
Unbelievable.
Not talking about that up until this point. I know we kind of have to, because I believe that it all ties in. This whole past 2 years, I believe this all ties in. But you are correct. It was dropped. COVID was dropped like that, wasn't it?
Instantly.
But the thing is, there's... like the pattern of reporting and the pattern of fear is exactly the same.
And the shutting down a conversation and the censoring and all that is exactly the same. Same tools.
And the virtue signaling is just phenomenal, right? The same people that put their fucking, vaccination status on their Facebook profile picture have now got a yellow and blue flag, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the two groups, because I think when they were pushing the COVID agenda, it's a little bit easier to get on board because you're trying to save grandma and grandpa from a pandemic virus and you need to take a sacrifice by taking a vaccine, and vaccines have never done anything. They're good, right? You had them when you were 6 years old and nothing happened. So why not? Mm. And that was the narrative. So it's easier to buy into that and not look at the mRNA, gene therapy, science, Moderna, patents. Don't look at any of that, especially if the mainstream media doesn't even tell you. It's easy to...
Then it's not credible, right? Because if you don't see it on TV, then it's got no credibility.
Exactly. And you can list anyone who's talking about those alternative sources of information as a conspiracy theorist. And that was a little bit easier to get on board with because it's about public health. And Fauci keeps telling us it's about public health. However, Ukraine isn't quite the same, because we're paying $6 a gallon, $2.50 a liter in Adelaide for petrol. That's hurting the wallet, and it's hurting.
But that's funny. Australia gets fuck all petrol from Russia. Right? We don't get it from there. It comes from fucking Singapore and Asia and India and fucking Malaysia, man. We don't get any from there.
And we actually, we overproduce LPG because of all the fields that we have, the coal fields and gas fields, we overproduce LPG, but somehow LPG for your car, that's liquid petroleum gas that you put into your car to drive, is now an outrageous amount. It's $1.10. I've never seen it at $1.10 a liter. That's insane. And
it is nuts. Yeah.
We're like a producer of gas for the world. Why are we paying such high prices? We should be paying 65 cents.
It's Russia's fault, man. Didn't you fucking watch the news tonight? Everything that's going on is Russia's fault.
And they try to sell it that way. And they try to virtue signal. You got to be on the Ukrainian side.
Yep.
But then little cracks start to seep through. And the other thing is not as many people are on board. So check this little video out, Sam. It's a little bit long. It's about 3 minutes, but it pretty much puts the Ukrainian political situation into a TikTok shell that is just a truth bomb that just makes it like singes your brain, burns you down to the core, and makes you think, man, I got to really reconsider my position.
This better have biolabs in there, man. Otherwise, I'm going to be seriously disappointed.
It's got Ukrainian Slavic heritage. It's got USSR. It's got Minsk Accords. I think biolabs are in there. Check this out, Sam.
America invaded since the Second World War. America has been in 19 wars since World War II. The death toll from modern American wars killed in the name of freedom is over 20 million and counting. They have overthrown 36 governments, attempted to assassinate over 50 foreign leaders, and dropped bombs on people in over 30 countries. Syria was the latest of 14 countries in the Islamic world that US forces have invaded, occupied, or bombed. But you believe your American media when they say Putin is a crazy warmongering dictator. Is your self-righteous indignation based on an understanding of basic history or just triggered by the next new bandwagon that is trending on mainstream media? 90% of these deaths are ordinary men, women, and children. They started the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War. In the last 60 years or so, the list of countries the US invaded includes Bosnia, Cambodia, the Congo, Cuba, El Salvador, Guatemala, Indonesia. There's been wars in Iraq, wars in Afghanistan, wars in Syria, Central America. They are the global bullies, destroying any country in the name of democracy and human rights. But the intention has always been to strip the nation of its resources and enrich their military-industrial complex. Now, what about Britain? Did you know that there are only 22 countries in the world that the UK have not invaded or helped in starting a war? The hypocrisy of the West is an abomination. Where was the sanctimonious outrage when Israeli armed forces bombed and shot Palestinian children armed with nothing but stones? Where was the sense of injustice when George Bush and Tony Blair invaded Iraq? Even after the UN weapons inspector Hans Blix visited Iraq and confirmed that there were no weapons of mass destruction. What a coincidence that Mr. Blix was found dead from suicide. Do any of you actually know Ukraine is not even a sovereign country? The state of Ukraine does not exist. If people just stopped and educated themselves before flinging themselves into a frenzy of indignant theatrics all over social media, they would discover that in 2014, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon stated that since December 1991, Ukraine has not registered its borders as an independent country. Ukraine is still under the territory of Russia, and everything that happens in this area is in fact an internal matter of Russia. And as far as Putin is concerned, there is no invasion. But now suddenly you're all Ukrainian. You all stand with George Soros, Hillary Clinton, and Marina Abramovich. Everyone is so used to instant news, like instant coffee and instant noodles or instant text messages, you don't have the patience to step back, to query the historical context of present day events, to educate yourself on an intricate and complicated ancient conflict. So my question is, when everyone starts shouting on the rooftops that today they stand with Ukraine, do they realize that they're actually standing with Russia?
Yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. there's some shit in there that I didn't even realize myself. So I'm open to learning.
And that TikToker is throwing out accusations, right? And she's saying, hey, wait a minute. Ban Ki-moon in 2014, he said Ukraine didn't register. They're not a state. They're not a sovereign state. Look it up in the UN. Basically, it's a Russian federation. It's part of the Russian sovereign government. And because it's never been declared as a state, like, yeah, look at Palestine, how easy it was to become a state for them. It's been 65 years and they still haven't been able to become a state. Ask Taiwan how easy it is to become a state in the UN. So here's Ukraine going to come along. Hey, we left the USSR now. Now, she is mentioning 2014. And like, I just can't let that slide, Sam, because if we are going to make accusations, I want proof. And here just so happens to be a little bit of proof about the 2014 CIA intervention into the Ukrainian Republic's elections. They had a nice, stable government that was with Putin working together to develop the Crimea and the oil fields and all that, making themselves rich. They're not nice guys. Don't get that, you know, mistaken. But then all of a sudden, the CIA is like, no, Ukraine is very important to us. And they started to put in puppet regimes. Remember Yoshchenko and Timonovich and all that happening in 2014, the color revolution. Now, I have a little clip of a certain press secretary who at that time just so happened to work for the Secretary of State, who just so happened to be Hillary Clinton in the Obama regime. And her name happens to be, you got it, Sam, Jen Psaki. Check out what Jen Psaki had to say in 2014 when asked about the installation of the Ukrainian government through a coup d'etat.
You know, the secretary met with the opposition this weekend. He stopped by a meeting with the foreign minister. It's up to the people of Ukraine, including officials from both sides, to determine the path forward. But it shouldn't be a surprise that there are discussions about events on the ground.
This was more than discussions, though. This was two top U.S. officials that are on the ground discussing a plan that they have to broker a future government and bringing officials from the U.N. to kind of seal the deal. This is more than the U.S. trying to make suggestions. This is the U.S. midwifing the process.
Well, Elise, you're talking about a private diplomatic conversation. Those happen all the time. Of course, as part of private diplomatic conversations, there are discussions about what involvement the UN can have, what involvement or engagement should happen on the ground. That shouldn't be a surprise. Of course, these things are being discussed.
I don't think that it is honest for you to say, no, we don't have an opinion, and that's all completely up to the people of country
X. There's a difference.
And I specifically mean, in this case, I'm talking about Egypt.
Sure. Well, let
because
me
you
just
do have an
make
opinion.
One comment here. There is a difference between private discussions that happen in the interagency process, in the building, and what we convey publicly as a U.S. government. And we have a responsibility to convey what our position is. Of course, you're discussing a range of options on a range of issues.
But if you,
that's what you do as
a
diplomat.
If you're saying privately behind the scenes that you're cooking up a deal, and then you're saying publicly that this is up for Ukrainians to decide, those are two totally different things. I understand that diplomatic discussions are sensitive and you don't want everything to come out, but those are two totally different positions.
Elise, what do you think happens behind closed doors when people are discussing issues internally through
this
the interagency?
This is not discussing issues. This is talking about a deal that the U.S. was cooking up.
I think I would disagree with you. I think you're overstating and overqualifying a couple of minutes from a privately recorded phone call.
2014, the U.S. government cooking up the next government of Ukraine.
Yeah.
And saying in public,
wow,
it's just Ukrainians' choice.
Yeah. But is it? Was it?
Was it?
Was
yeah.
It?
So Zelensky is not Fidel Castro. Zelensky, if we want to compare him historically, he is Bautista. He is put in by the CIA to exploit the natural resources of the Ukraine for the West. He's not a nice guy. Yeah, he can act like a nice guy. He can tell jokes all he wants and put a flak jacket on for photo shoots. But he's not a nice guy. He is a puppet regime set up by the CIA.
He can also play the piano with his penis.
I did not know that, Sam. Thank you for
did
sharing.
Did you not know that? Yes. No, I didn't. Well, I'll find you that video.
Please don't. Please. I don't want that in my inbox. I don't want the AI tracking what I'm watching with penises and pianos, man. So there you go, Sam. Jen Psaki herself, the Secretary of State for the president, the current president. And she did let slip one day. She said, they asked her, what's it like working in this administration? And she said, I love working for the Biden administration.
Like, yeah.
Total Freudian slip. Like, Biden's not even there, man.
But they're there. They're not there, but they're there.
Hmm. It's the Obama government running everything again, I think. Yes, I think Biden's just a little helium balloon.
Weekend of Bernie's, man. Weekend of Bernie's.
So now, how does all this connect, Sam? Like, why are we bringing in Ukraine? Ukraine is a political issue about war and borders. Or is it, Sam? Because
no, I'm going down the path of the biolabs, man. Oof. A week ago, the US said we don't have any biolabs there.
The mass media, too. The US, right? Anybody who says that the US has biolabs is treason, that you should be hung and strung up by your neck until dead.
Mm-hmm. Fast forward 1 week, what happened? yeah, we got them. They're there. But they're okay. They're not hurting anyone.
That was the Undersecretary for Defense, I believe.
Under oath, too. Like, this is no small thing. Like, this was a proper hearing.
And that was by Marco Rubio, who is, he's on the conservative, Republican end of the spectrum. Not too rightist, but he is a little bit. And then he's lobbing her a softball question that she can just say, we have not discovered any biolabs in Ukraine. And then that's it. He's not going to follow up. But she just decides to admit, yes, we do have biological research facilities in Ukraine. And we're very worried about what the Russians are going to use those viruses, those biological weapons for.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
The way Putin has done as well. I only have a minute left. Let me ask you, does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
I'm sure you're aware that the Russian propaganda groups are already putting out there all kinds of information about how they've uncovered a plot by the Ukrainians to release biological weapons in the country and with NATO's coordination. If there's a biological or chemical weapon incident or attack inside of Ukraine, is there any doubt in your mind that 100% it would be the Russians that would be behind it?
There is no doubt in my mind, Senator, and it is classic Russian technique to blame on the other guy what they're planning to do themselves.
Last question. I am certain that the Russians were looking at their foreign at their reserves as a way to buffer sanctions. Do you know how, now that we've sanctioned the central bank along with others, what do we have an idea of what percentage of their reserves are frozen or inaccessible to them?
Virtually all of them are now frozen. You notice that the country's been under currency controls for almost 2 weeks now, and the whole point of putting so many of these top 10 banks under sanctions is to make it impossible for them to get access to their cash in hard currency.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
But like, do you think? All right, so let's say I've heard during the week that Russia has requested a independent review into these labs in Ukraine that are funded US run, right? So US have got a couple of ways they can handle it. They deny it, not going to happen.
They tried that.
But then do they let them go in and see what they find and potentially find some really nasty shit?
Yeah. And
I know. Where are you going to go? Where are you going? Where are you going from this point? It's not looking good, whatever way you look at it.
Whatever way. And we're all in for a hairy couple of years. Like, it's going to be messy. And we're already starting to see the edges of this thing. And it's not going to be nice.
Have you seen the amount of cyber attacks that have been happening around the world in the last week?
You got to give it to Klaus, man. The man, he loves it when a plan comes together.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is... Please note, the new number is...
I love it when a plan comes together.
Please note, the new number is...
And he can make some seriously good plans.
So after talking to Trevor last week, it would be remiss to not actually have some kind of basic plan put together. Because I honestly think that, you know, things will go dark, right? That cyber attack is going to happen. We keep saying that because they keep planting these seeds in the media. Could you imagine the fucking... People just lose their shit if power, plumbing, water, internet, everything, communication just fucking drops and there was nothing.
I mean, we've lost power before. It's not like the losing of the power that's the shock. I think it's the extended power loss. So
were you living in South Australia? I don't think you were. I'm going to go back maybe... 2015.
No, I wasn't here then.
We had a statewide blackout. Like, the whole state went fucking dark. It was weird.
How long?
Right? And so some parts got, like, we were lucky. We got our power back maybe 4 or 5 hours after it went out. It was like 7:30 on a Thursday. We managed to find a pizza joint near us that was still operational. Grabbed a couple of pizzas. And it was like 7:30. No TV, no internet, nothing. It was like, okay, well, what the fuck do we do now? So we just kind of hung out, talked a bit, and kind of had an early night. And then, like, by 8 o'clock, like, we were in bed by 7:30. But 8 o'clock, the power comes on, everything's back up and running. But a lot of folks weren't so lucky. It took a couple of days for them to regain any kind of power. But
first world catastrophe story I've ever heard. Right? We had a blackout. We got pizzas. And we went to bed.
Pretty much. I know. But like different times, man. Like,
yeah, the pizzas were cold, man.
I look back on. Well, they weren't very nice.
Oh, there you go.
I do remember that. But like, you look back at it now, you think, was that like a simulation? Was that just bad luck?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, South Australia is now known as like a green state. It's even gone off coal for like whole days at a time, just completely solar. And there is a large part of the state that's like desert. We can really get some ampules up there. I went through Hurricane Andrew. I don't know if you guys caught wind of that. I mean, there's hurricanes every single year, day in, day out in the States, and you're not going to really hear stories of that. But Andrew basically cut across the lower end of the Florida Peninsula. It went right over Miami and Homestead. And it didn't do too much damage, but it did knock down a generator. And we didn't have power for about 2 weeks while they cleaned. The flooding receded and they cleaned it up. And we were like the one building still left in the whole neighborhood. They were trying to find the problem. And finally, 2 weeks later. So, you know, it was interesting. It was an interesting time living without power. So
you survived, you managed, you got through it.
I did, yes. A couple scars later, you know, but nothing too bad. We did have pizzas, although they were cold. Mainly we lived on beans, like canned beans and just cans of stuff. So, you know, it could be coming. The signs are there. There are a lot of indications that this is getting hairy. Like the World Health Organization, the WHO, has put forth a proposition to sovereign states that are members of the United Nations to agree to a pandemic constitution, like a pandemic proposal. So in the future, when other pandemics come around, we can just kind of go to the WHO and adopt whatever measures they say. So if they say lockdown, we say how long. If they say jump, we say how high. If they say inject, we say how many times. That's all we got to do. They'll take care of all the details.
It's basically Dan Andrews' pandemic bill for the world.
For the world. Through the WHO. So Tedros is going to now control our lives, just like Dan Andrews controls Victorian lives. And there is a open letter by the World Council for Health, the WHC, is asking the WHO to not continue on this path, right? Because it is a threat to sovereignty and inalienable rights of freedom. Freedom of expression, freedom of movement, freedom of secure housing, employment, and all those other freedoms that we have. So that's an interesting letter. And the reason that I mentioned this, Sam, is because the WHO is now warning us about Ukraine. Go figure. And this is what they have to say, Sam. Check this out. Here's Tedros and some other guy at the WHO giving us a little warning about the biolabs and what could happen as a result of all of this Russian bombing.
So far, WHO has verified 18 attacks on health facilities, health workers, and ambulances, including 10 deaths and 16 injuries.
The conditions we see in Ukraine are the worst possible ingredients for the amplification and spread of infectious disease. It doesn't matter if it's COVID, doesn't matter if it's polio, doesn't matter if it's measles, doesn't matter if it's cholera. You put that many people in desperation on the move, women and children packed together, people in basements, people stressed, people not eating, not sleeping. These are the conditions in which immune systems are weak, people's defenses are low, and infectious diseases can rip through populations like this. It is the violence and it is the conflict that is driving this health crisis. And this health crisis will not stop. It will only get worse unless we have ceasefire, unless we have peace. And DG has said that quite clearly. This is putting bandages on mortal wounds right now. And I think the world has to wake up to that as a reality.
Cholera, polio, ripping through the population with lowered immunity.
Did he say measles as well?
Measles as well.
Interesting. Pneumonia, measles is a side effect of the Pfizer vaccine. But I'm just saying, you know, like that's just where I go. Don't worry about me.
All these people on the move are going to spread this disease. And whose fault is it? It's Putin's fault for bombing these facilities. Oh, sir, what were the facilities doing there in the first place? Never mind that. Just focus on Putin and the bombing.
They were conducting gain-of-function research on how to fuck up the world.
No, Sam. No. They were investigating severe pathogens that could be released and preparing a defense for that day when those pathogens should escape, that don't exist in nature, that were only made in a lab to prevent that happening.
Accidentally on purpose escape.
Exactly, right. Which we are saving you from after creating it. So something like that. Problem, reaction, solution. Typical Klaus manual.
Okay, so where do we go? Where do we go from here?
So we have a very clear case. Russia's being blamed endlessly. It's their fault. Mm. Inflation's their fault. Gas prices are their fault. Food shortages are their fault. Fertilizer lack, all that stuff is their fault. Mm-hmm. They're bombing biolabs. The biolabs receive the pathogens. We've signed on to a constitution with WHO. We lock down. We stay safe. I think that's where my thinking's at so far, based on the past 2 years.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Now it does.
Yeah, like, look, I keep asking this week after week, and we're getting no clearer an answer on this. But how does this end? Because every week something fucking crazy just keeps happening. Man, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next week.
Well, if there's any mass deaths now, we know whose fault it was.
Apparently 52 is the new 27.
Oh, really? Is that right? I have like, no idea what that means. Like okay, the 27 Club, like Jimi Hendrix and all them?
Yeah, man. You know, like Shane Warne, he passed away not long ago, 52. A lot of people.
The Labour senator, she dropped dead in her house, 52 as well, I believe.
Yeah, there was a rugby league fellow who passed away today. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name. I'm not a rugby fan. I apologize. He was 52 as well. Yeah.
And you know what I found, Sam? According to...
And I'm sorry. And now just, you know, if you're a young male, you should really, you know, go to your GP and get your heart checked.
That's true. And yeah, according to Nine News, Sam...
These motherfuckers are trying to normalize heart disease or heart failure from a vaccine.
Unreal. And it's like we've criminalized coughs, we've criminalized runny noses, we've criminalized flu-like symptoms, right? If you have those, oh my God, you got flu-like symptoms. But we've normalized heart attacks, strokes in children, nervous tremors, neurological diseases.
Yep.
So here is something that I found on Nine News, and check this out. It's basically a news report that is saying, heart attacks could happen to healthy younger Australians who have none of the usual risk factors for disease. Now, new research has uncovered mutations in the genes which can compromise the arteries in the heart. And it's all delivered by that very somber newscaster on Nine News with a very nice square face and a serious voice that you believe because he's telling you the truth.
Yeah, but it's funny though, because it's frightening how quickly that works, because that same conversation that I had yesterday with a woman who said, without doubt, I will take that vaccine, no questions asked.
Wow.
Actually said, well, you know, if you're now, you know, a young male, you really need to go and get your heart checked. And I said, yeah, especially if you've had the vaccine. And the look that I got, wow. Yeah, the power of the media, right?
Yeah.
If you control the media, you're halfway there. You're halfway to victory.
Whatever this technology is doing to the human body. Damn.
Very scary.
Very scary. So there it is, listeners. We have a situation where biolabs were denied the week before, then were confessed to the week after, and now are just taken as reality. We now have the Russians complaining in the United Nations, asking for a bio security team to go into Ukraine and secure the biological pathogens that are running rampant. They're asking the United Nations for that. And the US denying everything, standing aside, blocking any movement in that direction. The US, where Pfizer's located, normalizing heart attacks, and now blaming any future biological attacks on Russia right off the bat. Like, if any biological attack should happen in the future, it's Russia's fault. Full stop. And we have the VAIDs causing cancers. We got 9 pages of adverse events, and we have potentially an increase in the overall mortality rate worldwide that might be indicative of something. And that something could be the Great Reset that Klaus Schwab has been going on and on and on and on about.
Yep. And like slow moving lava, we have time to change this. Just don't get stuck. Find a plan. And you know what my plan is?
What's that, Sam?
My plan is to resist, is to live free and to not comply.
This is the Vax Man.
This is Sam.
This has been Prison Colony Resistance, where you come to get your PCR test
for truth.